Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're turning through to Luke chapter 14 again, but before I read our passage, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word, and we do pray that you would bless it to our hearts, that we might understand and have hearts to believe all that you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke 14, picking up at verse 25. Now, great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So, therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, we've spent the last four devotions in a dinner party. And now, from a historical perspective, in the sense of in the actual narrative, we're no longer in the dinner party. We've now been moved out of that by the gospel writer Luke, who's shifted us away to a different place where we now have great crowds all around us. However, the teaching is closely connected to the previous session. We remember that Luke is writing for his friend, I'm assuming, Theophilus, whom he is presenting Christ to so that good Theophilus would want to follow Jesus. And having just received all of this teaching in chapter 14 so far about the wonderful character of God who welcomes sinners, who welcomes the poor, the lame, the blind, and whom is willing to invite and welcome anyone, we now get the counter to that. Unless Theophilus begins to think, like some of us can sometimes, that we can just simply throw our lot in with Jesus and be done, Luke now also brings the other side of the coin. Yes, the invite and the welcome is broad and wide, but the cost is very great. And so here we see Jesus challenging the crowds around him, people that are wanting to follow him. And he turns to them and he says some of the most stark and striking words possibly in the Gospels. He tells them that if anyone wants to be one of his disciples, he must hate all of his family. He must pick up a torture device, a cross, and follow him. And he must renounce everything in order to be his disciple. Now, you might think to yourself at this point, that's not very fair. In fact, that's not in keeping with what we've just seen in the last four devotions. That's not the kind of God that I expect to see in the Bible. That's not the type of Jesus I've heard of. The Jesus I've heard of is gentle and lowly all the time. He's one whose burden is light and whose yoke is easy. He's one who expects nothing, but freely gives grace to all that would draw near to him. And unfortunately, many of us think that way. And many of us are challenged by this passage. And we're primarily challenged because we don't really understand what Jesus is saying. This is not a passage so much about a great cost, but rather a great exchange, a great gain. I know it sounds like an expensive cost to pay your father and your mother, your brother and your sister, your husband and your wife, your son and your daughter, to take up a cross, to renounce everything. That sounds like an expensive cost, but it's actually not. You see, what we're doing in this passage is not so much saying no to everything as we are saying yes to everything. You see, Jesus knows that our primary problem is not so much that we love the world too much, or that our desire for gain is too great, but rather we don't understand the immense worth of Christ. You see, what Jesus is highlighting in this passage is that to be one of his disciples is to discover that Jesus Christ is worth infinitely more than all of our family. Infinitely more, even than our own lives, infinitely more than the entirety of this world. It's a very similar message to what we're going to see tomorrow morning at church, where Moses would reject Egypt in exchange for the reproach of Christ. What Jesus is inviting the crowds, and Luke is inviting Theophilus to do, and God is inviting you and I to do, is to reject the things of this world for true gain, to give up that which is loss in exchange for that which is true gain, to embrace what lasts forever and give up that which is temporary and fleeting. In the words of, I think it's Isaac Newton, in his hymn, or maybe it's John Newton, whichever one it was, in the words of his psalm reflection on Psalm 87, to embrace solid joys and lasting treasures. That's what this passage is all about. And I guess the question that faces us every time we think about the gospel, every time we think about Christ, is what's worth more? This world or Jesus? This world or eternity in the beautiful presence of our God? I mean, you can have your pleasures here today if you'd like. You can have your family. You can have all things. But a day will come when all of those things are gone. But for those of us who renounce all things here, we gain Christ today and in the life to come. And that's a trade I would be willing to make every single day of my life. What about you? And this brings us to those final words in verse 34 and 35. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. When you hear those words, you know it's serious, right? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What's Jesus saying? He's not talking about salt. He's talking about our willingness to embrace Christ and walk with Christ. What's this salt a picture of? It's a picture of a person that would say, I'm with Jesus. But then as they begin to walk, and as they begin to see the cost, they begin to reject it and walk away. And some of us know those people, don't we? People that have said, I'm with Jesus. But then when the thorns and the thistles have grown up around the seed has been choked of its life, and they've fallen away. And as Jesus says elsewhere, their second state is worse than the first. or as the writer to the Hebrews says, they have trampled on the blood of Christ. How can they be restored? May it not be so for you. May you not just hear the invitation of Christ and come, but may God grant you to pick up a cross and follow Jesus, and to see the infinite worth of the glory of Christ that is worth sacrificing everything for. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray, help us to gain in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.